I take it from the smile on your face that you're still not quite finished with items that you pick up in church.
I have a lot of them, and I'm going to get myself in deeper water here as I go along. One of the routines in many churches is that they say the Lord's Prayer every time. And I have watched with the younger people. I did this recently. In fact, it's been within this last month I watched. And the younger people could say the words, but it was obvious from their body language that it was a routine they had gotten into that had no meaning to them. Mm-hmm. So they said it right along with everybody else, and it was projected onto a screen so they could read it if they didn't know it. But it went so fast, and even by the way the congregation said the prayer, I don't think people really understood what they were saying, you know. And I think there needs to be the teaching time that says every so often, this is what we do Sunday after Sunday, but I'm going to explain to you what it is those words mean, because I think it's gotten to the place where it's become just a tradition that we do, but it doesn't grab you as to what is being said. And again, it's trying to think it all through and say, does this have meaning to us or doesn't it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with me on that
one? Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. In fact, the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly the portion where Jesus talks about the various aspects of faith, one of those, as I seem to recall, is the Lord's Prayer. Am I right on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So preaching from that Matthew passage would be a wonderful way of a pastor dealing with the subject of the Lord's Prayer in a teaching way.
Yes.
In fact, I remember, and I hope this impresses you, that sermon starter numbers 141 and 142 at our website, sermoncoach.com, are sermon starters
I'm
on
impressed.
The Lord's Prayer.
I'm
you
impressed.
Impressed?
I would
you're
never...
looking at me, and you know I don't have any notes on this.
No, you don't.
You
I'm
see
amazed
how immersed
that you know that.
I am at our website?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there are those sermons, and there are other sermons available that would help pastors preach very meaningfully on what Jesus was teaching us in praying the Lord's Prayer. That's something that needs to be reviewed, because it does become very rote in most cases where it's said, especially where it's said every Sunday.
Yeah, some churches have communion or the Lord's Prayer or Mass, depending on where you are in terms of your church background. But there is the serving of the elements Sunday after Sunday. And I know that that's not always understood. I know that because I went recently to, again, a Hispanic service with my friend Cirillo, who is from Oaxaca in Mexico and has no church background whatsoever. And I didn't think about it ahead of time, but I could see in the progression of the service, even though it was Spanish, that they were going to have the serving of the elements. And I thought to myself, now, what is Cirillo going to do? And maybe I should say something to him. Then I thought, no, I'm just going to leave it in his hands. And so the people all participated. We were in the middle of a row. People passed by us, and they all went to the front and received the elements and came back again. And I thought, well, it'll give me opportunity to talk to him as to what he understands and what he doesn't understand. And the truth is, he hadn't the faintest idea what was going on. I mean, this was his first time to church probably in 25 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, you know, there are probably other people like Cirillo who's there. And you just assume, because it's part of the routine that goes on, that everybody understands what's happening, but everybody doesn't understand what's happening. And there are a lot of people, maybe the younger people coming up, who have been in that church, you know, a good number of years, and they know what to do. They know they're supposed to go to the front. They know that in this case, they didn't pass them like in other churches, pass the elements to the pews. The people went to the front and received the elements. So they know how to do that. But what that means, you know, I watch very carefully people's body language as to the seriousness of what is going on. And I know there were a number of people, because I watched what was happening. It really didn't have that much meaning to them, but they were going through the motions. And it's going through the motions that I don't like. I want people to go to church and say, I understand why I'm doing this. It's very important to me. There is something supernatural beyond just my normal, natural, everyday world, and I have the privilege of participating, but they have to participate with understanding.
Yeah, that makes sense. And again, the pastor plays a key role in that.
There's no question. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. The way he or she introduces the communion portion of the service, even if it's an every week occurrence, as it is in certainly in Roman Catholic services and Episcopal services and Anglican services and others where they brethren assemblies where they celebrate the breaking of bread, depending upon whether it's open to the anyone who's there or whether it's a closed just to those who are members. There does need to be a teaching moment that this represents the body and blood of our Lord, or in the case of those who believe in transubstantiation, this is the actual body and blood of the Lord, and the significance of his death on the cross and the fact that he asked us to remember. Those are, remember by the communion service, his sacrifice. Those are very, very key elements, and it can become so routine, especially to a pastor.
Yeah, no question.
So it's very important that the idea that I need to make this, in fact, this is true of every part of the service. It needs to be accessible to the people that are there. And one of the key ways of making parts of the service accessible is to use those teaching moments that so that people understand. I might make the comment that another way is to provide adequate information in the bulletin as to what's happening.
Good.
I've gone into a lot of churches where the bulletin doesn't contain nearly enough information to make me comfortable with what's going to happen in the service. The people that come every week, they're used to what's going to happen, but the bulletin can be a really great tool for preparing visitors for what's coming just by simple little commentary. Doesn't have to be in full-size font. It can be a small font underneath the item to get a little explanation of what's happening. And even I found the regular attenders appreciate the more information the bulletin gives them about what's going to happen in the service.
Yeah, and the pastor has control of that, may not have to do the busy work of it, but can make the suggestions or whatever. So certain repeated parts of our Sunday services, they need rethinking for them to actually have meaning for the people. And again, this is from my perspective, and I probably am in a church other than the home church, I would say half the Sundays of a month. So that's a lot of visiting, and maybe I'm hyper on this just because I'm always the outsider looking in. But I think it's important.
Well, I think this is a topic that we probably should revisit down the road in another podcast because there's your rich opportunities. So few pastors have the opportunity to visit lots of other churches like you do. So I think the pastors can learn a great deal from your commentary. What are we going to talk about next time?
I want to talk about the difference between delight and boredom. So it's kind of the same area. But I want to introduce an element that somebody taught me about that was very life-transforming, is surprise. The great beauty of surprise. So that's going to be our subject.
Very good. We invite you to join us when we next meet at the podcast here. We are sermoncoach.com, sermon-coach.com. We have resources available for pastors, and it's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We've been talking with Dr. David Maines, director of sermoncoach.com, and we'll look forward to being with you soon again.